This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The three guiding principles of permaculture can be summarized as such: people care, fair share, and earth care. So described as a philosophy of working with rather than against nature, permaculture has changed the lives of those who have embraced it, and the movement of permaculture is becoming stronger by the day. So in this, the second of our two-part series on permaculture, we're going to explore how to actually start practicing permaculture from two practitioners who will share some do's and don'ts of starting your own permaculture garden. And joining me to do that are Ili Farhana Nurhayat. She's a permaculturist and founder of Symbiosis Alchemy. And also Federica Agnese, who is the co-founder of Kebun Kemensa. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Good. Hi.
Hello, hi.
Lovely to have you both on the show. So yes, of course, this is the second part of our small little two-part series. We're going to do more, hopefully. But yes, last Wednesday, I spoke to Ashahari Rahmat, who's a farmer at Kebun Rahmat, and also Muhammad Irfan, who is a founding member and director at Urban Hijau. So we sort of like waxed lyrical about, you know, the philosophy behind permaculture and all of that. But I'm always curious to know how it is that people got into permaculture and what it is that, why it appeals to them. Maybe we can start with you, Ili. You know, how did you come to learn about permaculture, and why is it something that you enjoy so much?
Hi, I'm Ili. So my journey actually started in 2013, around 2012-2013. At that time, actually, I was working with NGOs. So I study a lot of all these social issues and, you know, all this political social context and consumerism. And the issue of consumerism and all this always attracts me since I was in university learning fine art. Mm-hmm. So my background is in fine art, graduated in UiTM. And I always like working with people. So after graduate, I always organize art events and festival, alternative festival, independent. So, and then I got into NGO. So while working there, and then I got my, I've married and got my kids and everything. So my kids always ask about where the food come from. So she, the first one especially, she's very, you know, curious where the food come from. And then another part of me is because I was reading a lot about people movement and stuff like that, I stumbled across permaculture in Cuba. So I was reading about the article and how they, you know, they come up with community gardenings and stuff like that. It got me inspired. And also I was thinking like, maybe this is something that we can do. And at that time, community gardens, permaculture is not really talked about in the circle or where I'm at that time. So it's kind of new and like kind of like, oh, what is this, you know, for me? And also adds up with how I see my kids are growing. And especially when they play outside, they are just being free and, you know, nature, and then just being enjoying themselves there outside. So we tend to just grow food around at the backyard of our small garden. Then I observe how the kids are growing together with us as we grow the garden. We don't know what we're doing at that time. So it's like, you know, I read and there's, oh, permaculture using natural methods. So then we try. So it's a lot of like try and error on our first garden. And then we develop like a strong interest about to know more about permaculture because of the ethics and principle. Because like for me, it's like, oh, this is something interesting, you know, this ethics, the earth care, people care, fair share, and then all this principle that in place, then it's really systematic. I like something that is systematic and very well organized. I guess that's my kind of obsession, because I organize events and stuff like that. So it's like, sure. Oh, this go, you know, all the principles like observe and interact. It's similar with my practice in arts. So Michelle, if you want to do art, the first thing you got to do is you need to observe your surrounding, and you have to be a good observer to become a good artist. So I guess it relates to my background also. And then I noticed also the effect of therapy. It's very, very healing when work with nature, when I tend the garden, and also when I get the harvest. And then, you know, when you're working in a very intense environment in NGO work, there's a lot of emotional going inside you that you it's really hard for you to process.
Sure.
But when I go in the garden and I see how people can really connect doing all this gardening, it really touched me. So, and then we come to do like community projects in neighborhood. We work with urban community in Klang. We do some small gardening workshops with low-income earners, okay. Children's that you know in Klang. So we make together with like-minded friends. We just open up a space and then also make a creative environment, creative gardening. And that grows the interest more until I get the opportunity to go to Bali to be a farmer itself for 2 years there. And that is where the more in-depth learning in permaculture, in conducting learnings, working closely with farmers, understanding their issues. So I guess that really get me the interest that grows me because I feel the work is really connected to my passion and also to the people that I want to work together and also the earth itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay.
That's the sum up.
it's. I mean, it's been quite a big chunk of your life, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah. Until now.
And I do want to find out a bit more about Bali, but let's get to know Federica first. So Federica, you know, you are the co-founder of Kebun Komensa. I know, and that just started very recently. But how did you, you know, gain this interest in permaculture and you know this sort of systematic way of doing it, as Illy put it? Yeah.
Yes. Hi everyone. I first learned about permaculture when I was living in this organic rice farm at the edge of the northern forest in Kedah, up north. I've been living there for 3 years, three beautiful years. I was living the kampung life and learning about rice farming. And I started to play in the garden. I started to sow my first seeds. And I was doing it on my own. So it was a series of like mistake after mistake. I was basically building up this very precious knowledge of what not to do and what does not work in the garden. But still, I was learning. So like Illy said before, also my experience was basically I was starting from observations and trial and errors. Mm-hmm. So, but it was at this point that two volunteers came to the farm. They just finished the permaculture design course in Pulau Bidan Permaculture, which is this permaculture project started by a group of five friends off the coast of Sungai Merbau, mm-hmm. in Pulau Bidan. And they were so enthusiastic about permaculture and they brought a lot of materials to read. And so I started to read. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I thought that permaculture was just another way of growing food, a way to garden. But then I soon realized that it was so much more. It was so much broader than just growing food without chemicals. And it was basically rediscovering what we already know in our heart, because it's about that connection with nature that shape ourselves, that shape our physical and emotional environments. And so it surely is about food in the sense that plants are important in our life. We need them and we depend on them. Mm-hmm. But I realized that it was more in the sense it was about creating systems that in which we all can thrive together. And that was very fascinating for me. And so I continued to practice. And one of these five friends that built up the Pulau Bidan permaculture actually moved to the farm. So I could actually learn the hands-on together with him. And then we got married because he's my husband, Abdulazim, also a certified permaculturist. And so we moved from project to project and we make our way to Kuala Lumpur, where we are now, still digging soil and sowing seeds and trying to learn as much as we can on the way.
Digging soil and sowing seeds. I love it. That really... And just keep doing it, right? And that's wonderful, right? And you've got a new place, as I mentioned, in Komensa, right? And that kind of started very recently. I think, was it just following the pandemic? Am I correct?
Is it? Yes. We started in January 2021.
Okay, so happy anniversary, yeah. First anniversary.
Thank you. True. I didn't think about that. 1 year already.
Okay, all right. And so obviously, like you both said, you know, it's a lot of trial and error. You know, you're both kind of also just figuring it out. And that is, I think, you know, what, you know, during my conversation last week with both Ashari and Irfan, they were saying, like, it's a lot of observing. It's a lot about learning about the land that you have, learning how to, what to plant where, you know, which trees need to go here for, you know, for shade, or, you know, the right time, what can help get the most sun. So these are the things also, I'm guessing, that, you know, well, Ili, I mean, you went to Bali for 2 years, you said, right? I mean, tell me a little bit about that experience, you know, and what it is that you, the sort of knowledge that you gathered from that, that you're currently using now as well.
Okay. From when we arrived, in the first time we arrived there, that was the first time I've been to Bali. So I never been to Bali before, even I go to Bali. So it, for me, it's like everything is like so new, right, with three small kids with me, you know.
You're quite then, nuts, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And then it was like really in the middle of rice paddy field and in a village that not really popular. It's like in Pajang. When we said that we're in Pajang, so people are like, where's that? So, yeah, it's in Bali, you know. So it's very rural area. So when I arrived there, I mean, for 2 weeks, I just didn't do nothing. I just look at it. I make a right decision, you know, because I was like, I've never lived in a village before. I'm not a village girl. I'm very urban since I was small. So it was a really big step and it was a bit crazy to think about it again. But I think because we start off with observe, and before we interact on anything, we just observe. We just observe the daily things that people do there, the soil conditions, the environment, the resources around our, that what we can do with our resources. Because when we start off, the owner of the land and also the NGO that on the that project also inform us, they don't have a big budget for this project, but they hope that we can work around it, you know. Mm-hmm. So we feel that, yeah, okay, we have a house, we have a home, and we have a land. So with the spirit of, you know, belief that the land can feed us, we just, you know, yeah. Just do it. So and then we just mapping. What we do first is just mapping the resources, mapping the people that we can work together, get to know the community. So it's more about the connection. At that time, I'm not certified permaculture. I haven't got my PDC. I never been to any training. Okay. But I have the hands-on experience working in the past gardens that I worked before. So I guess that was my strength and skill that we hold on to, our skills. With my partner at that time. And then also because we have a lot of experience working with community, I guess that was the strength. And we easily try to mingle with them, ask them about their culture, ask about the food, ask about a lot of things. So we open up first before we even tell us what we want to do. So our method is engage with the community first, get to know them first, you know, blend in with the community first, because we know at a place that we are, we don't have anyone. They are our family. Mm-hmm. So for us, like, family is really a strong things that we need to hold on to, like me and my kids. And because we are far off from family and friends, so we need to build up that, we need to grow that first. So that connection take us about few weeks, few months, just to, you know, build up trust. Okay. And then slowly we work closely with the farmers, and then slowly we teach them. At first we do have the mistake, like, for example, we organize a workshop that nobody came because we don't know that they have a lot of offerings, and they pray that we do not know. So we change our method. We said, okay, let's work on based on your calendar, you know. So how do we work around this? So you can't bring whatever you explain all and then just expect them to follow. That is like a no-no if you want to go to community. So you need to also learn how you can work around. So that's how we do it. And then that slowly build up the trust, slowly build up the understanding. So the farmers, the children, the mothers there, they learn through our action. So if you talk theory about permaculture there, they will say, what is this, you know? I mean, they will, because they are farmers, that is how they feed themselves. So yeah. You can't just change them like overnight. You have to learn how to do it, you know. You can't say they are wrong. You have to show what is right. So you need to prove us to them. So that is what we do just for 1 year. Just that is what we do. We do earthwork, we work with them, we do designing with them. So all the design, all the selection of plants are based on their diets, based on their needs and offering for daily basis. And also we learn about their plants and trees and also try to bring in whatever resources and then you know, integrate the knowledge with the people. So we want them to feel ownership with the project by asking them, you know, in their ancestor, you know, how they do it, their mothers and their fathers, how they do it before all these chemicals coming in, before all this, you know, plowing, damaging the earth soil coming in. How do in the past they do it? So they explain to us how they do it. Usually it's manual, usually using manure. So then we show that, okay, why don't we try to do it the old times? So it's like bringing old knowledge coming back in and just showing them that, look, this can work. You know, you just have to trust and be patient with the process and stuff like that. So, because when we arrived there, the soil was really damaged. So, and we feel that that is the focus that we need to work on. So the soil, we regenerate the soil using methods like, you know, just use compost and then just use whatever natural resources like cow dung every morning we will collect. And yeah, to tackle the issue, for example, slash and burn. So every morning we will go to places that they harvest their rice. So we tell them that we want the hay to cover the soil. Okay. So we just collect to them. So they don't burn, please don't burn. We want it to cover the soil. So we show them how to do it. So, and then I remember before we leave Bali, the second year, it's really fine, the you know, what you call the rice hay, because they have collect already and they also use on their land.
Okay.
So the farmers is like also trying to, you know, use the way that we teach them, you show them, because they see that that can work too.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, work, you need to show by example. Yes, theory is yes, permaculture with a lot of theory, very good knowledge, but you really need to show when you go to the people, when to bring change, you need to really show how to do it, because all this theory, sometimes it works in certain place, sometimes it doesn't. So that is what I also learned from moving to gardens to garden, because I worked with, before Bali, there's three gardens that I work with. So all of this garden, there are similarities and there are differences. And those are the things that we learn as we, you know, grow all this garden. So that's the interesting part about permaculture, and I learned from that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're just going to go for a quick break. But when we come back, you know, I'm going to find out, you know, how Federica went about doing it and her experience also from Kedah. I'm speaking today to Ili Farhana Nurhayat. She's a permaculturist and the founder of Symbiosis Alchemy. And Federica Agnese, who is the co-founder of Kebun Kemensa. She's also a permaculturist. And we're talking all about how we can start a permaculture garden. We'll come back after this quick break and find out how they both did it. Stay tuned to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Federica Agnese. She's the co-founder of Kebun Kemensa. She's also a permaculturist. And Ili Farhana Nurhayat, also a permaculturist and the founder for Symbiosis Alchemy. We're talking all about permaculture today. And this is the second part of our two-part series on permaculture. You can tell that I'm trying to get more people interested in this practice and, you know, hopefully get more people involved and interested in starting, you know, learning about permaculture and maybe starting to grow their own food, you know, using the permaculture techniques. So last week, again, I just to remind everyone, I spoke to Ashari Rahmat, the founder of Kebun Rahmat, and Muhammad Irfan, the founding member and director of Urban Hijau. There we sort of spoke about the philosophy behind it. But today we want to talk about the do's and the don'ts, guys. You know, I mean, like, as you said, Federica, you know, you learned by trial and error. There were so many things that, you know, you had to learn the hard way. So now we are going to reap the benefit of your knowledge and ask you, you know, I mean, let's say somebody listening now is really keen and they would like to start, you know, they're really interested in permaculture gardening or this way of farming, if you want to call it that. What is your advice? How would you say they go about it?
Yes, I'm very happy to share the knowledge I gain by, like, mostly by mistakes. That's very important. Thank you. It's a very important part of learning anything, maybe by gardening especially. Yeah. Doing mistake is really very important. So, okay, to let's say that someone wants to start a garden, a permaculture garden. Let's see what could be the first thing. I go quite practical, but actually do. Huh? Mm-hmm. I would say find the nearest sunny spot, the nearest to you. So it can be next to your kitchen door, anywhere that is easy for you to go, comfortable to go at any time, to work or to harvest, something easy. And then maybe second step, make sure that this place that you chose is connected to water. So whatever you decide, however you decide to water it, manually, with irrigation, just make sure that there is water available around the first area you want to grow plants or food. Mm-hmm. So basically what I'm saying is, let's start simple and small. That's very important. Permaculture emphasizes a lot this. Start small, make sure you understand and you learn and you control that. When you feel confident, then you scale up. You just continue on that way. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you have this growing area and you make sure that you have water. Then it's time to decide what type of plants, for example, to grow. And then I would definitely suggest to compromise a little bit, meaning that you grow something that you like. For sure, it's important that you like what you grow. But maybe you can start with growing something that is easy to grow as well. No, so I wouldn't start with tomatoes, for example, which are quite challenging in this climate. Mm. And so, okay, we start with something simple, and most importantly, combine them together. You have this growing area, just plant them together. It's called like companion planting, and someone wants to go a little bit deeper in it. So let's put flower and herbs, like as more plant as you can in the same space.
Is that to sort of encourage more pollinators to come as well? Is that
part exactly? Is okay. Helps attracting pollinators and also sometimes to repel some of the unwanted pests. Mm-hmm. And in some other cases, without going too technical, they really help each other. The plants help each other to grow and also to make, also to build the taste of the fruit itself.
Okay.
And I would say stop there and observe and learn from it. See, like, ask yourself, is it too much sun? Or does it need a bit of shade? Is it growing well? Just learn from it. Observe it. And when you feel confident, then it might be time to maybe scale up and, go to another area. And here I would say is the most important and most interesting fact about permaculture, the design, right? Because that is where you start the design process, because you have this growing area, you want to scale up. So how are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. So in permaculture, like Ili was saying before, we don't want to impose ourselves on the land, on nature, basically. We want it to be to reveal itself to us. Mm-hmm. So basically the design reveals itself just by, so let's say you have this growing area and you go every day and you do a little bit of work. So you start moving around and looking at things. So you start to understand how things work, and it will be that the base of your design. So to give a simple example, in case I'm talking too philosophical, too general. For example, it happened to us to our new plot. We are building a market garden. We have an empty plot. And after a few days, we start observing the land. And we noticed that it's a bit slopey. And there is one area in particular that is quite lower than the rest. Okay. It's a lower area. It's a lower point. So what better place than that to build a pond? Mm-hmm. Like water was naturally flowing there, right? Mm-hmm. Rainwater mainly. So it just makes sense. It's the land telling us where a pond is supposed to be. And it's helping us because in that way, we also work less. It's less starting to work because we are not forcing water to go where we want, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like by just doing this small step and starting small, you start to understand how things work, and then the design will come from that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's clear or it's
no, that makes perfect sense. You know, it's a lot about observation. It's a lot about starting small. You know, don't be so gung-ho and just, you know, plant like 20 different things and then watch it all fail and get really disheartened and give up, right? So start small and then scale up. That's really wonderful advice. And may I ask how Kebun Kemensa is doing, you know, in this 1 year? You know, I mean, I'm guessing you started small and then slowly scaled up as well. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And here again, I would like to connect with what Ili said before. We started with community first as well. So we have actually at the moment two plots where we are growing food. One is a house garden, so it's the garden in front of our house.
Okay.
And one is the market garden. So we started small. So we started from our house garden. It's a small place. We can control it. We live here. So we are looking at it every day. And we start growing food. And we start to sell food in the weekend to the local people, to the local community, to see the reaction. Do they like it? What do they like it? Is it okay? Also, like, is it the price okay? We wanted to really learn anything, like everything we could.
Yeah.
And so based on this experience, we decided to start a market garden. We saw there was demand. People were happy and interested. And that's how we started bigger. So we started scaling up. And we are actually starting right now a market garden.
Okay.
And so we started with community. We started with what people actually need. Also, is another important aspect of it, I think. Sometimes we start with things that we are excited about and we like. But then what if other people, if we grow for our own consumption, is okay, obviously. But if we think maybe of sharing with our neighbors or with our friends or even to sell, so we may want to consider also what actually people use and like. Now the market garden is under construction. And another important point I would like to add also about permaculture, for example, we started the market garden. So we have this empty lot and we go in and we start noticing things, like I said before, right? We observe and we try to understand the land. So we start to having some ideas, but we don't have a design yet because a design is a process. It's not a result, is an end result eventually, but it's not something you do at the beginning. Like one might think, right? Like I see the land, I do the perfectly detailed, beautiful design. That's exactly how it's going to be. It's never the case. So we go in, we have some ideas and we start working. As we start working, things change continuously. Now has been 4 months and things keep changing. And it's sometimes very frustrating because you really get attached to an idea. I was picturing this pond there, beautiful, and then no, I cannot do that. I have to move it. So, but that's the thing also, be patient because it takes time. Things change all the time. And so it's been 4 months. The design is still, you know, changing, but everything is developing. We are growing the garden beds and we have some basic infrastructure. So that's an important also learning to just be sabar, be patient, and, you know, like observe and just interact. Like Ili was mentioning before, the first principle of permaculture, observe and interact. So deal with it. As you notice something, just, you know, find a solution, find a way. The problem is the solution, like permaculturists might say now.
Yeah. I think, you know, anyone who's listening might say like, gosh, that sounds like it requires a lot of labor. What would you say to that? Maybe Ili, you want to take this, you know, what would you say to someone who says that, you know, it's too challenging, you know, to start this garden. It's too much. It's going to take up too much of my time. What would your response be to that?
Well, I will say that, you start with what you have, where you're at. Because you the only one knows your own capacity, you know? So this is why for me, if people ask what's the tip, I would say, ask yourself, why do you want a garden first? You know, mm-hmm. Because that is where it all comes from. Ask your heart first. Why do you want a garden? Why do you want to grow food? Or why do you want to even compost, for example? Just take one element in a garden, compost.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people ask me, is compost easy? I said, yes and no. Yes and no.
Yep.
If you really want to learn, if you want to make a good, you know, if you know the importance of compost, then you can do away with the hard work or the routine, those kind of things. Because it's all come from a heart, it's like your intention. For me, that is where it comes from. If you can answer, I want a garden because this, then, you know, then it's easier for you to take up the challenge. I can say that growing a garden or growing things is a challenge. Either you grow kids or you know, grow anything.
Yep.
Because it has a character, you know. It's not like a product. It's not like you receive siap or done already, you know.
Yeah.
It's a thing that, like a seed, you have to take care. You have to really know what's about, you know. So It's all about intention and how do you align with your actions, with your intention. So I can say that is the more conceptual part of how I understand it. Because I know if I don't have the, for example, if people ask me, why do you grow food? Because I believe that I'm the caretaker. I need to play a role as the caretaker of this earth because that's my purpose of why I exist in this world. Mm-hmm. So that is the bigger picture. But because permaculture also work from patterns to detail, so then you focus on what does it mean by a caretaker to me? So a caretaker is I take care of my family, I take care of the community, and then I, you know, it becomes like a ripple. Yeah. So it becomes bigger and bigger. So you can start with your family first, or you can just start with yourself, actually. So you want to take care of yourself by eating good food, by having good habit, by having like good routine, and all that you can learn. For example, for me, how I learned to improve myself to be a better person by through growing garden. Because when you have a garden, you cannot wake up at 11. You have to wake up morning. You have to, you know, water the plants. Same as when you choose to be a mother, you cannot wake up at 11. You have to wake up as early as the kids. So it's the same. So it's a intention and then a commitment. So for me, that is where the action will follow. And as you go, it will just, you know, unfold itself, all that. So, but the important part is start with what you have, where you at, and where whatever you have around you. So, for example, when I come back to Bali, back to Malaysia, I got disoriented with all the surround me because I'm in urban. Mm. I have really small land. Mm. In front of my mother's house is a porch. Yes. Doesn't have a soil. Yep. So I feel so uproot from the passion and from what I believe in. But I start back with compost, you know, whatever the things that I've gone through. And then I just observe how, you know, from the waste that we call it waste, actually is just something that feed us. And then how it can turn back into the fertile soil. Mm. So that is where the birth of symbiosis alchemy, actually. So from the compost, and then I learned to grow in small pots. It's just starting back. So I start with whatever I have. Now I grow in containers. I grew together with my mother and sister at our house. My passion is growing food, but they like all these beautiful flowers, and say whatever is I go with whatever, you know. For me, growing flowers, if that makes people happy, I will grow with them. So in between flowers, I will put all this tomato or chilies. So, you know, I think for me it doesn't just about what I want, but also what other people also want or likes, you know, so that people can feel the ownership of the how small the garden is. So I guess that's the tips that I can give, because Federica talked a lot about other hands-on, which I agree. Also, I agree a lot of it. That is also, for me, it's all back to intention. Because once you have a strong intention, it's strong in your heart, however the challenge come, you will step. That is where you step back and, you know, manage to observe and redesign, redo, replant. So it's always about reuse. So it's okay. It's always have a mistake. So my teacher remind me that fail is first attempt in learning. So it's okay.
Okay. And Federica, what would you add to that? You know, if somebody were to say that, it's too time consuming. How am I going to do this? You know, what is your response to that?
It is true. It's a very important question. I've been asked many times also your question before, like, do you need a lot of workers? Like, isn't it super tiring? Again, yes and no, like Ili said before, sometimes some answers are yes and no. So concerning the workers, for example, permaculture is about systems, right? Like you want to create, you want to put system in place, like things are very clear and like step by step and how to do things, how to do it well. So I noticed that when things are in place and there's a system that connect them all in one whole big picture, it's easier to transfer this knowledge to someone else. So if I hire a worker, things are in place already. You just have to follow the system we put in place. So I found it at least easier to transfer the knowledge to a general worker. You know, how many you may need, it depends also on how big your land is and, you know, what type of crop you're growing. Do they need a lot of care? Do they need less care? So that would be very contextual. it does require obviously physical work. And like Ely said, you definitely have to wake up early in the morning, unless again, you have like a team. So maybe you can take turns, or you have workers that do for you, or volunteers. Obviously there are many options to it, but if you love it and your intention, you know, like it's in your heart and you want to do it, you will definitely wake up early in the morning and be very happy about it and go out and do it. It definitely requires some work. So I wouldn't say it's definitely, you have to be out there. But again, is that what you want? Then it's just, you'll definitely be happy about it. Like you're outside under the sun and with a lot of colors and greens and butterflies. It's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And I think what I can add up is like, usually if you start a garden, it's always the first phase, like 1 to 1 year, is that is the time that require hard work, where you need to do the earthwork, you need to do the planning, you need to do the observation, you need to redesign and rework again. But once you have in place the system, because usually permaculture is all about long term and, you know, not short term. So once you place the system in place already, the trees start growing, the food forest start growing, then you have lesser and lesser and lesser of work. Then the yield will come after the hard work. So it's not suddenly you got ta-da, a garden, you know. So even though if you have like hire a team or consultant doing everything, you still have to learn to manage it. So learning to manage is also the phase one, is the learning curve. So that is the challenging. Before you hire people, you need to know what the workers are doing, you know. So it's all about like understanding which role you are placing. But if it's your garden, then more work to do. But for me, it's like, because you enjoy it, it's not work, it's just life.
And the benefits that you reap, isn't it? You're eating the food that you grew, you know, there's no pesticides, you know. I mean, what do we work so hard for, right? To nourish our family and ourselves, right?
Exactly.
At the you know, end of the day. And here it is, you know, stuff that you grew, where you knew exactly where it's come from. You know that, you know, it was your hard work that brought this food to you. I mean, that's, I can't imagine a feeling better than that. I just want to say, Federica, my husband and I, many years ago, we started love with tomatoes like geniuses, and, you know, it all failed and we...
That's a tough one.
How did it go?
It was growing beautifully and then it all died and we were like, okay. But yes, we learn, and then, you know, you keep trying it, isn't it? But, you know, something that you guys said, it's a community thing as well, right? So, you know, anyone listening who, you know, has like a neighborhood sort of group, you know, and you know, you could each sort of like find a plot of land in your neighborhood, for example, and neighbors can, you know, work together to build a plot. I mean, that is also an option, and permaculturists also can come and assist and, you know, help people or communities sort of like start to grow their own community garden in that sense, right? Yeah. Okay. So that would be an idea. All right. Okay. I guess, you know, just before I let you both go, you know, if anyone's listening and they'd like to find out more about the work that the both of you do, what is the best way to do that? Maybe we can start with you, Federica.
Yes. We are in Kamensah Heights. It's our project is an urban farm project. It's called Kebun Kamensah. We are on Instagram. We might not look very active because you're not very fond of social media, but we are there, and that's surely a way to connect with us. Very welcome anyone who wants to come and have a chat and, you know, talk about permaculture and, you know, just connect with people. So, I guess Instagram is a good place, and you can just come and,
And you guys are open to people sort of like, you know, just calling you up and saying maybe we want to learn and we want to come and like, you know, meet you guys. That's okay, isn't it? You're quite open to that?
I think, yeah, we're quite open to just sit down and meet and meet people for sure. Like for learning experiences, maybe we are still building up the place, so maybe not yet, but we definitely love in the future to host like any type of like workshop and get together. So, but yeah, definitely open to connect and to get to know.
Okay, excellent. And Ely, how about you? You know, if anyone's interested and they'd like to get in touch, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'm actively in Symbiosis Alchemy Instagram. So I use that platform to share the tips on home growing, because now my base is more on home growing, urban setting. And, you know, if you want to learn more about composting, Bokashi composting, I share a lot of videos there. And also right now I teach together with Aishari. We collaborate, create a workshop, online workshop on home gardening, and also if you like for farming also. So if you like to learn on garden design and farm design using permaculture ethics and principle. So this Saturday we will start our course, online course, but you need to enroll. So you can enroll at Kebun Rahmat. So it's a collaboration workshop with Kebun Rahmat. We're going to teach people how to design their home garden or farm that interested to, you know, to grow food, to start growing food. So that is how you can get connected with me and also, yeah, on my work.
Okay. All right. Well, that's excellent. And I think, you know, the pandemic has taught so many lessons, but I think one of the biggest lessons it's taught us is also to be resilient and, you know, to find our own ways to sort of survive, you know, should that those lockdowns and all those crazy things happen again. So I think, you know, just growing your own food is a wonderful way to start, you know, just to even think about it. Yeah. So I guess, you know, this is why also I wanted to do this short little series, just to get people to think about how they can. And basically it's something that can be done in any setting, right? I mean, whether you're living in an apartment, whether you're living in landed property, you've got big space, little space, there are ways that you can do it. Any last message, ladies, that you'd like to leave our listeners with before I let you go? Federica, you want to go ahead?
Last message. I would really encourage everyone who can start or try to really try it out. Try starting from your balcony, or maybe you have a little veranda in front of the kitchen, or even just a place with enough sun. Just try with a few pots and try it out. Try to grow some herbs or flowers or food. And you just, it's just a start, but let's explore it. And just, I hope and I wish that you'll get all the benefit from it that has been benefiting me all this time.
Okay. And Ili?
My message would be like, don't afraid to try. And, you know, there's a lot of people that is out there, like us, like me, Federica, and other friends in permaculture that are happy to share or willing to share the tips. Or if you want to look for hands-on experience, you can just find us in all the social media and ask. Just don't be shy to ask, like if you want to have like some advice or if you want to go for a hands-on learning, you know, like farms like Kebun Rahmat, they open for Sundays, volunteer there. So people can come and do a hands-on. So I think it's about asking and also about, you know, collaborate. Just do share whatever you have, like knowledge. Never afraid to feel like, oh, I don't know permaculture, I'm very beginner. But I think everyone has something to offer, so we need to value that as a person, you know. So yeah.
Okay. All right. And I think that's something I've observed as well, which I also said to the both gentlemen last week. It's such a strong community, you know, the permaculture community. I see how you guys collaborate. There's so much of knowledge exchange and help, you know, between you guys. And, you know, you're always offering that to people who want to come to it. So that's wonderful. So I guess, you know, if anyone's interested, just get in touch. Look up, you know, everyone. Just look up Permaculture Malaysia on, you know, on the web, and you will find all the different resources there. My thanks again to both of you today for joining me. I've been speaking to Ili Farhana Nurhayat. She's a permaculturist and the founder of Symbiosis Alchemy, and also Federica Agnese, who is a permaculturist as well and the co-founder of Kebun Kemensa. If you miss any part of today's interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.